Welcome back to the Homeschool Conversation podcast, where we talk all things homeschool. I am your host, Ashley Davis. And on today's episode, I have a very special set of guests. I have Marty and Carolyn. They are the creators and owners of a private satellite homeschool program here in Southern California called Excellence in Education. And I also have the owner and creator of a special homeschool platform called the Homeschool Coaches. So welcome, Carolyn, welcome, Marty, and welcome, Abby, to the show. I can't wait to jump into all of the topics we have planned for today's conversation. So without further ado, Carolyn, do you mind jumping in and starting us off with who you are and your journey with homeschooling?
We homeschooled our kids for 14 years. I had been a public school teacher, and that taught me that I never wanted my children in a public school.
Wow.
And when a neighbor introduced me to the idea of homeschooling, I told Martin about it, and he immediately said, "Hey, we can do that." So we started, and we have two daughters. We started in 1981 and homeschooled for 14 years. And our eldest homeschooled through 12th grade, and then went to junior college for a year, and then transferred to a four-year school. And then our younger daughter homeschooled for 10 years, and when her sister went off to college, of course, she had to go to school too, so she transferred to a local Christian high school for 2 years. And so they both graduated from Christian Heritage, which is now San Diego Christian down in San Diego. And when they were teens, some of my friends started bugging me because they didn't feel confident to file a PSA. That was kind of, people did it, but you often would have a truant officer on your door a couple weeks after you filed it. So I had a lot of friends who did not want to do that, and they didn't like any of the umbrella schools that we call them PSPs now. We used to call it independent study, but the schools took that name. So they didn't like the way these others were run. They knew how I would run it because they knew my educational philosophy. And so they hounded me to do this, and I didn't want to. So they went around me. They went to Mr. Marty. And of course he said, "Yes, sure, we'll do that." And that's how we started Excellence in Education Academy in 1992.
Right. I didn't realize it's been around for so long, and I can't believe I've been homeschooling in California for only a year myself, and 2 years before that in New York, and it's my first time actually hearing about it, so I'm really excited to talk more about it, and I'm so grateful to have your guys' input about the program and just your experience as veteran homeschoolers. I feel like your words are just going to be like golden drops of nuggets of gold, you know? So thank you for being here today. I can't wait to ask you guys my questions I have for you. And
okay. And
before I forget about Abby, I wanted to make sure Abby has a chance to introduce herself because we have three guests. So Abby's a homeschool mom who runs the Homeschool Coach company, or Homeschool Coaches, right? I don't make sure I'm saying it right. And so she has a program that she can also share about. But what I really wanted her to share is about her own homeschooling sort of journey, if you will, like what chapter you're in of your journey, and you know, what your journey, how it's starting to now unfold into a PSP route.
Yes. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for having all of us. First off, I have to say, Marty and Carolyn, I am such fans, and you know that. I've gone to a number of conferences. I have seen both of you speak, and I'm always writing a huge list of different things I always take away with. And the fact that you have been homeschooling so long is just a gift, because a long time ago, homeschooling looked very different compared to the way it looks now. And to hear your ideas and philosophies and motivations is always a great reminder in how we're doing this, because it's so easy to get lost and confused in it all. And especially, we're moving into a new stage, and every year it feels like a new stage, because now my boys are 13 and 15 years old. As of the last law that was passed last Friday regarding the charter schools and funding, we are probably not going to get picked up by a charter school. And I'll back up a little. I started homeschooling my kids when they were entering kindergarten. And I, like Carolyn's friends, I needed help. I wanted the extra guidance. I'm a business major. I'm not a natural teacher. Ironically, my mom's an educator. Two of my siblings are. It skipped me. And I just need that extra guidance. And so we homeschooled through charter schools up to about 2 years ago. And then my boys wanted to see what public school was like. And we went for it. And they liked it. And they did well. And that's a whole other story on, well, the transition from homeschooling to public school, brick and mortar public school. And so now with COVID-19, with my mom being 79 years old, with my son having asthma, we don't feel comfortable sending them back to the brick and mortar school. We are going to homeschool for a while until things calm down. We were going to go with a charter school, and now we're changing our mind. I know I can do a PSA, a private school affidavit. I don't personally want to do that. I like having the extra guidance. And that's why I'm really thankful for both of you that I could talk to you, especially with Ashley here, and we can share this with other parents on what EIE can do and help us as we continue our journey in homeschooling, but through excellence in education.
Yeah, thank you, Abby. That's such a perfect, perfectly well said about why we're all here today, is basically for us to learn more about this third option, which it seems like for some reason, a lot of homeschoolers don't seem to know that they have this third option. They think it's either charter school or PSA. And it seemed really popular for everyone to go for the charter school option. I wanted to maybe have you guys share what you thought about that. Why do you think so many people go for the charter school option and then don't think about the PSP option, which is what you guys offer, which is the private school program, is what PSP stands for. And so it's an umbrella program where you have a satellite program and it helps homeschoolers. So can you share what you guys think about the charter school option, why people don't choose that, and what the advantages are of going the route of a PSP like your program, EIE?
Okay, the PSP versus the charter. I would say that 90 to 95% of people join charters because of the financial incentives.
Right. And also, if you're new to homeschooling and you just go online and type homeschool into the search engine, guess what's going to come up? A whole list of charters.
Yeah.
Because it costs a lot of money to get yourself in that position, and the charters can afford the advertising. Whereas most PSPs are little private organizations that don't have that kind of money. So people don't even know that the option exists.
Right.
That's true. That's very true. For those who are exposed to the charter, they like the financial incentive. It up till now, and I think it's going to change over the next year or two, dance lessons, horseback riding lessons, they'll pay for classes. Up until last year, they pay for annual passes at Disneyland. So that's a primary reason. Another reason for someone to join the charter, and sometimes we recommend the charter, if you're going to only homeschool for 1 or 2 years to let Johnny kind of mature and grow up, then I think the charters are the way to go, only because I will say almost all charters are accredited through a regional accreditation company, WASC in our case. And to transition back from a public charter to a public school is seamless. It's not always that easy going from a PSP to a public school, depending upon the district. Mm-hmm. Each district has a personality. Yeah, high school for high school. Sure.
For elementary, there really isn't any problem. You don't need to worry about going back and forth in elementary school, but in high school, it depends on the district. Some districts will accept all the credits from a private PSP and others won't.
Right. So and then I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to ask you about the advantages.
In the case of the PSP, instead of us paying you money to join us, which I'm sure you'd like, Abby, is you pay us a tuition or an administration fee.
Right.
Then we get into, go ahead.
No, so then I was going to say, so when after you pay like whatever the tuition fee is, then there's a whole set of advantages that people commonly think is only available to them through a charter school. Then you also seem to have a lot of those same resources available to you under the umbrella school. Is that right?
Correct. Up to a point. The advantage to a PSP is that, especially when you get to high school. When you get to high school, the charters tend to have a very myopic, very narrow educational path. They're going to do the A to G. They're going to be testing a lot. They really want their kids to go to college. Whereas with the PSP, particularly our PSP, realize that every PSP, like charters, have different personalities. And you got to find the personality match that really goes well with you. But what we like to really emphasize in our programs is that from kindergarten through about sixth, seventh grade, what we want to do is to prepare the child to teach themselves and to love learning. Whereas in the charter, because it's tied to the accountability of the district,
And the testing.
They really want to keep you on track and with Common Core. So if you're...
And they're very limited. So especially when you get to high school, then they'll start to limit the kinds of things you can study and the way you can study it. Whereas with a PSP, you have a lot more flexibility. Now that'll vary from PSP to PSP. So different, just like ABC private school is different from DEF private school, going from PSP to PSP. They have different rules because it's their school and they can decide what their graduation requirements are. So with us, we've done an awful lot of research and over the years, we've had time to do this. And we really believe that an education should be tailored to the student. And also, it should break out of the confines of the public school system. So in other words, in a public school, you typically will only have three or four choices of high school science classes. And everybody takes those same classes. Biology, chemistry, physics, and there might be something else. But when you're homeschooling with us, you can have, you could study herpetology if you want, or biology. You could study ornithology. You could do marine biology. You can do a full year study of astronomy. You can really go deep. The sky's the limit. And to some extent, and that can be a tremendous advantage, because if you're looking to be picked up by a top tier college, they have got 5.0 students coming out their ears. They all look the same. They've all taken the same classes. But if you can show a mark of distinction, because you were able to do something different, you'll stand out.
think that's the whole reason why a lot of people homeschool, is because they do want something different than the traditional public school system. And I love that on your website, I saw that you have a learning style assessment where people can actually learn about what a learning style is and what their learning style is. I think a lot of parents are sort of overwhelmed by that when they hear that there are different learning styles. They're like, oh, well, then which one am I, or which one is my kid? And now I have to find a curriculum that matches that. So I love that you have that tool on your website. Actually,
can I add, I've had a number of friends go to Marty and Carolyn to pick up the book on how do I figure out my child's learning style. They're talking to Marty directly. And anytime anyone's ever kind of confused about, should I homeschool or not, or is this going to mess up my kids, I will almost always tell them, make an appointment with EIE and talk to Marty and Carolyn, and they will help get you that foundation. And for me, you know, to answer your earlier question, with charter schools, I personally needed the guidance. I wanted that person to just kind of make sure, are we on par? Are we kind of where we should be? And I know the definition of where you should be at a certain age is, you know, subjective. And so I've always liked that guidance, but I've always loved that I've had quite a bit of influences from my friends who are unschoolers, who are very Waldorf, and they do have their PSAs, and that helped a lot, because that helped me really recognize the importance of what Carolyn and Marty are talking about, just that love of learning, and to foster that, and to kind of break out of the shell that I was in, you know, with my own upbringing with education. And I'm really curious, how would you, Marty and Carolyn, also describe the personality of EIE, since all of them have different personalities, just like there's different personalities or philosophies with homeschooling? How would you describe that?
We describe us as the home of homeschool freedom.
Nice.
Because we're not confined to the box.
Nice.
And one of our purposes is to not only have the child become a self-learner and love learning, but to create the dream. And as an example, my daughter Tanaya, when she was 10 years old, she said, Dad, I wanna be a pilot. And so we were able to gear everything in our academic arena around aviation, like a unit study, a Charlotte Mason approach. And then when she was 12, she wanted to be a missionary. Fast forward to age 20, and she's the first woman pilot to fly with the Africa Inland Missions Aviation Team in Kenya.
Oh my goodness.
Power of the dream. And where we differ from most other PSPs, and for sure charters, is that if we find a child whose ambition is to maybe be a doctor, then we're going to push them toward the A to G and help them get that good looking transcript so we can market them to the universities. Nice. I have three boys right now, that students of ours, that are working with Sammy Maloof. And he's a stunt driver, but he's got a race engine building business in Alhambra. And three of my boys, they just work there. They are there from 8 to 5, and all they do is automotive, and they do the academic stuff a couple hours a day at the shop, and they'll never see a day of college. But when they're like, 19, they're going to have the ability to build a $50,000 race engine. They're going to have the ability to get their drag racing license over at Irwindale, and maybe do a little stunt learning. These three boys are going to be happy, happy, happy. And then I had another student graduate this year that not only did he get his high school diploma, but he also had his bachelor of science degree. And he was 17 at graduation.
Wow.
We can accommodate each extreme.
And I love that perspective, because I think a lot of homeschoolers think that the ultimate destination is college, and that is the only way that your homeschool can have been successful, is if your child ended up a college graduate with a PhD. Yeah. And I feel like I love that you encourage those who are, maybe that's not the career path that's meant for them. And I love that you also share those examples of different examples of success, that success isn't always the journey that ends in college. Success is the journey that ends in, like you said, a self-directed learner that can then use the information they've learned to then become a productive member of society. If for me, I feel like that's my goal with my educating my kids. And I love that perspective about the automotive students that are just really enjoying what they're learning and seeing that that's valuable to society. That's valuable to society.
It is very valuable. And one other real quick example, we had one client and the family's been with us for a while. And when I met the son, he was only like 5 years old. And I go, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be Elvis. Well, you know what? Today, he's one of the top Elvis tribute artists in the country.
What?
He does the young Elvis.
I love it.
And he's got all these, it's so fun to go to a concert where he's at, because he does a real good young artist, Elvis, and all these women, these elderly people, like 70 years old, swooning after him. It's just hilarious.
He doesn't get it.
He gets it all right. And okay. He plays it.
My two boys, how do we get started with EIE? What does it look like? I've got a middle schooler, a high schooler. I'm kind of concerned. I want to make sure the transcripts will hopefully be accepted by the high school, because my oldest wants to go back to high school. And, you know, they each have their goals for the future. And, schools, universities are definitely in that picture for them. And I'm curious, what's the next step to get started with you?
What we like to do is we want to meet the family.
Nice.
If we can meet dad, that's a bonus. It's difficult to get dad to come. But we really want to get a feel how the relationships are going within the family. Where does the child see himself at age 25, if we're talking your children's age? What hard places have there been in their lives? It could be a death of a grandparent, a bad divorce, a bad delivery. So we really pay attention to all those environmental issues. And then we sit down and we help the family create a plan to succeed. And to if you want your boys to go to college, our hope is that we can provide them with a big enough dream and a desire for freedom, and instead of going back to high school, start taking some classes at the community college, maybe CLEP classes. That's how our student got his bachelor's degree. He CLEP'd a lot of classes. And you can build up easily an AA diploma at the same time you get your high school diploma. And it's all done by exposing the kid over time to kind of changing the dream. Because the main reason most kids want to go to the school is socialization.
And I have to say, it's so funny, because in school, your teacher always tells you to stop socializing, stop talking. I don't know what this imaginary socialization is that's happening at school, but I just think that's so funny.
Right.
Well, the fun part too is that when you look at true socialization, the socialization influence on a typical classroom child is plus or minus 6 months of their birthday. Whereas, because a first grader hangs with a first grader, fifth with fifth, that's by design. It gets a little bit better in high school, because those seniors are looking at the fresh crop of freshman girls coming in. So they're going, yes. But you look at the proper, and I'm talking about properly homeschooled kids, not the isolationist crowd. But if you properly homeschool, your child will have a socialization influence of plus or minus a lifetime.
I love it.
And that was demonstrated very nicely about 20 years ago, more than that. When Tanaya was probably 12, we were at my parents' house, and one of their friends was a chief negotiator with the Nixon administration. And he was there at the house. And he had like an hour and a half conversation with Tanaya. And he came up to us at the end of the day and goes, Marty, I can't believe it. I spent an hour with a 12-year-old and I enjoyed it. Because she had the ability to relate, and her education was based upon this question here, this question there, this question there. She was a self-learner, and she, at 42, today is already still a self-learner and she loves to learn.
Right. I loved it. And it was very clear when my boys went to public school, their teachers automatically knew they were homeschooled because they weren't shy. They would come and talk to them and ask the teachers questions. Sometimes they'd even encourage the teacher because they're just used to that engagement. And I loved that.
I do too. I love that too. I love that you share that because I think a lot of people think homeschoolers are actually very shy and struggle when they transition back to the classroom. So I just love that you shared that.
Some are, you know, we're not a perfect population.
There are just like the public school kids, everybody doesn't come out of public school just ready to launch. So, you know, it's just true for everyone. So then what happens after the interview, that after you interview the child, what happens after that?
And we set up a curriculum, and that's where Carolyn's the specialist. I'm really good at the interview. I'm really good at counseling because I don't mind peeling away the onion. She gets the first layer of the onion and she's done. I don't want to know all that stuff. I love knowing that stuff. So the two of us team up together and we can really provide a good curriculum choice. And I'll let Carolyn talk about that for a while here.
Of course, it varies tremendously with age and with individual learning style, but it really helps a lot. You know, public school or usually any private school, it's a one size fits all situation. The school has chosen a curriculum, and that's the one you use. Every once in a while, you get a really creative teacher who will adjust things here and there for individual students or just make it really cool for the class because this is a very creative teacher. But for the most part, it's a conveyor belt and you do whatever you're assigned to do and you don't get any choices. We are the opposite. We have an entire world of choices. And so we start to look at what's going to work best for this child and this family. Sometimes there are budget constraints. Sometimes there are just, we look at the child's learning style as well as the parents because there is the interaction and the parents have to understand because very often you'll have three kids with three different learning styles. And what worked wonderfully for one child doesn't work at all for the next one. So, and that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got this beautiful curriculum, I paid a lot of money for it, and now I have to get something different. But, you know, if you can just use the world as your school, there's so much out there and there's so many different ways to learn. So for some people, you need a lot of hands-on. For others, you need it to be a lot of auditory and discussion and talking. And for other people, it's just give me a book and give me a worksheet and I'll be fine with that. So I just try to determine, at least for starters, what's gonna work best for that student. And then things have to get adjusted bit by bit because we're talking about a transition. So especially now with this COVID thing, especially with teenagers, a lot of them are depressed. And so we start out with one thing and then we're gonna watch how does that work. What do we have to do? How much adjustment can we make? It's just that I like to think the world is your classroom.
Right, and it is. I think it takes a shift in thinking that way because if you went through the public school system yourself, it's really programmed into your mind that the only way to prove that you learned something is if you can prove it in a worksheet. And it's hard to think that there's any other way around that children can be learning when they're watching TV, that they could be learning by doing something with Legos or that they could be learning by fixing a car or just, you know, it's just hard to see that. So I feel like that's part of where maybe you guys are really helpful because you're shifting the way people think about learning.
Step back and just look at history. workbooks were invented maybe 70 years ago. Before that, there weren't any. Abraham Lincoln went to school for less than a year. Think about that.
The one thing that we like to really emphasize, two things. One, we work on mastery. So let's say it takes, in high school, it takes you a year and a half to complete Algebra 1. We give you one full year of credit. Now, let's say in second year, geometry. You not got geometry in 6 months, half a year. We give you a full year of credit because they've mastered it. And we also have a very developed, this really cool attitude about only 40% of your day should be academics, 60% exploration.
Love it.
And if you do exploration correctly, you will take a lot of that exploratory activity and convert it to academic credit on a high school transcript.
That is amazing. Can I get into the nitty gritty? Because I've got to plan my next year for both my boys and it's already July. Okay, yeah. So for example, I've got one child who needs to get through integrated math 3. We've got our tutor that we love. How will that translate into the transcripts? How do we even tell you and communicate that and their grades? What is that?
We accept the input from the tutors.
Excellent. So they need to communicate with you?
No. We trust that what they give you, you'll give us.
Excellent. Okay. One of my other kids, we're looking at getting him into a community college. And so how does that work in showing it on the transcripts with EIE?
We have on our transcript, we have a column that if you have taken either an AP class or taken a college level class, not remediated class, but real college credit for graduation credit colleges, then we have a weighted math additive to it that it automatically does the math. We've got a nice Excel formatted transcript. And so we have a lot of kids graduating with 300 plus units. And it's really exciting because the transcript is the marketing device to get your child into college. So we work real hard on having a sharp looking transcript that reflects not only their academic core, but their extracurricular interests and mastery.
Love it. Okay, I'm gonna tell you my two boys. One, his goal is to get into UCLA. The other one is very much into science. Everything science, he's trying to figure out, is it chemistry, is it physics? His goal is to intern at the City of Hope. What kind of ideas would you throw towards them?
Well, what are the ages?
13 and 15.
And what are the interests? I missed the interest for the UCLA.
Yes, he loves technology, so he'll probably be somewhere in the IT or engineering area. My 13-year-old just loves science, natural experimenter every day. I'm worried there may be a fire in my backyard, but yeah, he needs to let us know when he's using matches, and we're ready with a water hose regularly.
Okay, so the one that wants to go to UCLA is the 15-year-old?
Yes.
All right. Well, UCLA is tricky to get into. So he'd want to either be a really top SAT scorer or...
SATs are out now.
That's right. We don't have SATs right now. But by the time he comes back, maybe there will be.
No, they've given up on it.
Oh, they've... Okay. Well, there are different routes. Now, it's a lot easier to get into UCLA as a junior than it is. They don't want freshmen. They would prefer that kids go to the junior college and transfer in.
Or CLEP during his high school times.
Yeah.
CLEP.
So he can CLEP. So he wants to show probably a mark of distinction. So you would want to find something special. The schools would call it extracurricular, but for us, we can often give high school credit for it. But in any case, it just needs to be something that shows that he has a lot of initiative, that he will step out and take charge. So it's not all the academic credentials. It's showing that he is he's a self-starter, that he's serious, that he's going to go out and do something. So it's sometimes the extracurricular can be just as important as the transcript.
We're going to take a really quick break for one of our sponsors. And now back to our show. Listen in as Abby shares about her children and their interests that are growing as they navigate through teenagehood.
With Christopher, who's 13, he loves the East Coast. He has his eyes set on some Ivy League stuff, and I'm a little nervous because I like California. I like California prices compared to East Coast as well too. But you know, we'll see. He's 13. Things may change, and we'll see. He may if this is his dream, I support it.
That is why it's so important to have that exploratory component, because if he can find someone to shadow or to work with or to just be around, one of your friends, you know, that is a biologist, whatever, let them see what it's really like, because many times the fantasy does not meet the expectations of reality.
Oh,
and it's really good to know what you think you might want to do, and you go, maybe not, you know.
You're right.
That's very important.
That's true. You know, I should know this, but what is CLEP? Could you explain that a little bit more?
I was going to ask that too.
CLEP is subject exams that if you pass those subject exams, it's not the SAT, you'll get the credit for have taken that class. And the strategy is to, even if you're in public school, let's say you've taken a biology class and you got an A or B in it, CLEP right away while the information's still up here. And if you pass that test, you've knocked off one of the requirements for graduation. And I think they run about $100 a test, which is still cheaper than a college course.
So it's CLEP is a standardized test that you use to demonstrate that you've conquered
Mastered.
Standard?
Yes.
College level. So you get college credit when you take a CLEP exam.
Oh, a college credit. Okay, I thought it was.
Yeah, we're talking about college credit, not high school.
Now wow. You can apply, you can put that on your high school transcript if you can get credit for that, but it is for college credit.
So it sounds like there's various ways to double dip.
Oh,
for
yeah.
High school, yes. Do the CLEP, it'll cover high school, it'll cover community college.
Correct.
Or you can just take a community college class, which is free, and then you can cover high school and community college. But I hear there's a unique math, like one semester of community college equals a year of high school, is that correct?
Correct. One semester of any college level course equates to 1 year of high school credit, and it becomes a weighted GPA at 5 points for the A instead of 4.
Right.
Wow.
It's the way to do it. It's a different animal.
It is. It is. And hopefully, if you like having your boys home, they'll see the benefit of not being confined to a classroom box. And oh, we have to also, let's cover real quick, are you qualified to homeschool? Because a lot of parents come in and go, I can't homeschool. And so I have a quiz, and I'll do it to you two ladies. First question, do you love your children?
Yes.
Most days, yeah.
Most days, that's an honest answer. Now take your hand, put it on your forehead. Are you about 98.6 degrees? Therefore you live and you love, you're qualified. And here's the bonus. In my world, I believe it is impossible for you academically, spiritually, physically, emotionally, do worse than the state of California in educating your child. So there's no reason. And there's a story. We had a graduation ceremony about 10 years ago. And I had my youngest and my oldest ever graduate on the stage. And I had this young boy that he had his AA degree and his high school diploma on the same week. And he was age 12.
Oh my goodness.
I had also on the same stage, my oldest graduate. A mom came to me a couple years earlier saying, Marty, I don't have a diploma, I want one. So I said, okay, let's work it out and do it. Sure enough, she qualified. That mom, who's my oldest graduate ever, was the mother of that 12-year-old.
Oh my goodness, amazing.
So the hardest people to convince that they're qualified or certified school teachers.
Well, that's what I wonder is, if you guys knew Marty and Carolyn, what you know now, back when you were in Abby's shoes or my shoes, since we're still in the trenches, if you knew then what you know now, would you have done anything different? If you knew your kids were going to get to college, you knew they were going to lead happy, successful lives and be productive members of society, and they were going to live their dreams, would you have done anything different back then or told yourself something?
No, because it worked out really well.
Yeah, we're happy with the results.
Clearly.
Why change
it? Clearly.
It's not broke, don't fix it.
Right. And just so I know too, you said one of your kids ended up doing, they're a missionary, and she has she still has that interest in aviation. And what about the other one? They both went to college, right?
Yes. Now Tanaya, and this is good as well. Tanaya, my pilot, she did get her degree in aviation. And what's important to understand, she did not learn to read until she was 8. Now, Tylene, because she was born with a genetic predisposition to Party 101, she went to... and she got her degree in theology. And today she's a pastor of women's ministries in a large church in San Diego, married to a real estate agent. Tanaya is married to an airline pilot. So the grounded ones stay together and the airheads stay together.
And so what about you, Abby? What do you feel like is your vision for what you're hoping for, like your short-term goals for this upcoming school year? What are you feeling like you're aspiring towards or hoping is going to be the outcome once you get through this next year? I know you know what your long-term goals are, but what are you hoping for this short-term time?
Considering they're a little bit older, it's going to be different than when we homeschooled in elementary school. Some of the things is I really want them to be self-directed and motivated, and really taking the time to explore, but also knowing they've got to balance that, especially with things like math that can't fall behind, especially they've got to still have that strong foundation that they can build upon. I want them to have fun. I want them to learn how to self-direct and help pick out their schedule based on what their goals are, what's good for them, where they want to be, and to really begin to evaluate the load that they're ready for. You know, to take it easy, maybe at the very beginning, since if my oldest does college classes, I'm a little nervous. I'm sure he's a little nervous about the rigor of it, because he's used to what he was doing in high school. It can be a little intimidating, and I want him to feel comfortable, dive in, and then when he's ready to push and excel a little more. I love how Marty was also talking about the work. You know, if they find a job or internship or something in their field that they can really dive into and explore and learn hands-on, that is exciting. Because my oldest that is interested in technology, right now he's thinking about security, internet security. And so he's going through a program where he's learning coding and programming, because it's really good to know if they like it or not. It takes a certain personality to read and do everything perfectly in code to make it work right. So I'm glad he's diving into that. And if there's anything else he comes across, let's explore it and see what they like and what fits for them, what they can care less about. Because if they could find what they love, I think that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I'm wondering now, since I'm hearing from you, Abby, what your goals are, and you know, short-term and long-term, and then hearing from Marty and Carolyn with their experience and their resource of EIE, I'm wondering now, how would you, like for the listeners that are hearing this conversation and they're wondering, how does this all fit together? How does Marty and Carolyn take their experience and their wisdom and their resource of EIE, and then how would you guys explain, not in full detail, but just how would you explain how you would help Abby with this next year coming up? What would be some ways that you would come alongside her that maybe she wouldn't do as well on her own for her own individual preference? She said she doesn't want to be alone. She wants the guidance. So where do you guys fit together with this?
What we do here, we don't have mandatory meetings, which is unusual for a PSP and impossible by law for a charter. And if you need the help, if you need the handholding, we're always here for you. We have the parents that just know what they want to do, boom, they're doing it. Or their parents have gone through the first 2 years and they've matured to the point where they can do it on their own. But we're always available in person, via Zoom, or on the phone to provide that support system that's required. And we always want to work for what the child's dream is. Sometimes we have to ask for the helicopter license off some of the moms and say, you know, the kid's doing really well. Let him go where he's headed for. He may surprise you. Or if we see there's some danger thing going on, then we will, as an advisory agent, let you know where we think you should go. We cannot be dictatorial, but we will be advisory and gently guide you to a successful journey. And if you do it right, then we have a happy family. And the one thing we do recommend is that the parents, if it's a husband-wife team, they attend one Board of Education meeting a month. And that's defined as you, the teacher, you get together with the principal, that would be your hubby, and you go out to we talk about the student body, that's your children, but you gotta do it away from your children. So you go to a nice quiet restaurant once a month. And that allows the wife, the mom, to brag about all the good things. It allows dad to ask questions. Now, we know that when we're confined to our home, the emotions are not in check like they could be. That could be good or could be bad. But in a public arena, we tend to moderate, so it's not an inquisition. And then it also allows mom, you know, ask dad questions. Okay, we got a problem with boy number one. What are we gonna do about it? And now you're a team. And then once your meeting is adjourned, it flips to a date night. And if you haven't had a date night in a long time, shame on you. We're married 49 years next August, and we still date each other a lot. It's made a big difference.
It's important. It's an important
49 years.
Yeah, 49 years. Amazing. Next year is the 50th.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. And what you brought up about the titles, you know, you've got your principal, because I hear this so often, being mom and teacher is so hard. And of recently, especially with teen boys, dad has had to have more of the role of when issues come up. That I can still be mom, I can still be teacher, but you know, for other issues, I need my husband to wear that hat.
Yeah, teen boys need their father. They often have some pushback with mom, but.
Also then, right now, Abby, it's important for you to be dating your boys. And that's defined as your husband will give them the credit card or some cash and the boy will take it out to dinner, out to miniature golf, anything but movies. And he's going to open the door for you.
I love that.
He's going to do the chair thing for you because you're training him to know how to respect a girl.
Love it.
And if he had daughters, then your husband would have to date the daughters.
Love
and
that.
And so there's an expectation of respect and honor. And the boy's not going to just go honk, honk, and go, your child's not going to just go out the door. No, there's going to be a protocol. And those life skills are as important as academic skills.
Oh, I agree. Getting that foundation going, that sounds like so much fun. I love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Now, there's something that you should keep in mind that I didn't realize until my daughter pointed this out to me. She was already in college. It was Tanaya. And she was kind of expressing the virtues of homeschooling. And I said to her, well, what do you think is your biggest advantage in college from being homeschooled? And she said, I have the ability to teach myself. And I think that should be pretty much your top goal.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Because they need that ability in college, and they do not learn that in school. They can learn it, but that is not something that is a goal of the schools. And so she found out when she got to college that very often there'd be a professor that was hard to understand, and then she would have to figure things out herself. And as it turned out, then her classmates would be asking her to help them figure it out, because she could, that was her lifestyle as a homeschooler.
Right, and so what would you say is the way that happens? I think there's a lot of invisible pressure on homeschool moms to develop that ability in their children to become self-directed learners, and it feels like then you know that that's what you want, but then you look at your kid and you're like, okay, you're not doing that though. I still have to. So do you think that it's a process to teach your kids how to become self-directed, or do you feel like it's just throwing them, like pushing them in the pool and like, okay, well, you're going to drown for a little while, and then hopefully after you swallow a few gulps of water, you start.
Babies are just little learning machines. They, and toddlers, they ask endless questions. And they are curious about everything, and they get their fingers in everything, and they want to touch an area, and they want to ask and do and so on. Then we send them to school. And then we teach them that learning is an unpleasant activity. We need to get away from that. We need to do more unschooling. We need to do more, find out what their passions are and let them loose with it. Because when a kid of whatever age really wants to do something, you can't stop them. But if you have to push and shove and shove and shove, they're not learning that. And sometimes I think we drank the Kool-Aid. We take this A to G list as if that is the end all and be all of getting into college. Okay, well, that's one way, but it's certainly not the only way. The Colfax boys back in the 80s lived on top of a mountain. They had to do everything for themselves up there. They had to build a generator so they could have electricity. They had to slaughter their own animals for food. They had to cut down trees to make a little bit of money. And yet three of them got into Harvard.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So they didn't do anything. You can read the books their parents wrote. David and Mickey Colfax wrote two books about their experiences. And they didn't do anything to copy the schools. But those boys were learners.
And I just had a conversation with a graduate admissions officer at a big college in this area here. And I asked him about the SATs. And he said, they're done. They're gone. Because they're bad indicators of future performance. And they're going to look more at experiences, at potential, take a more of an individual look at each applicant instead of this categorizing by a student name and various data points. They're getting away from that to some degree. Not that those data points don't count, but I think you're going to see a different attitude. And then the UC system will be creating their own SAT substitute as well. But I think if you can create a child that has a dream, that's why I'm big on dream building, that has a built-in self-discipline that he can learn. And one of the best places to learn that is through martial arts. I'm a big proponent of martial arts. I think every teenager should take martial arts. And then work the dream and learn how to be self-motivated. Then you have a winning person at 18, 19 that will either go to the vocation area or take over a family business or go to college. It's all about creating that inner ambition, that inner drive that you don't get necessarily by just going through the regurgitative process of reading a history book and going, boom, answer the questions and I forget about it.
Right, right. And I think what I'm hearing from you guys is that there is such a process in this, and the mom and dad have to be so flexible in the way they see and value what their children are dreaming about. Because I think it's easy to see like, okay, Abby's saying, I see my son is obsessed with burning my kitchen down. He wants to do science experiments all the time. So maybe he wants to be a chemist. And I feel like it's easy to just see that. Like you see that. But then what if what he's really doing is he's practicing how to mix and what things don't mix. And what if he's not going to do anything with chemistry? What if he's just using his the experience of experimenting to actually catapult him into what his next curiosity is going to be? And then that curiosity builds into another. So it was never about the chemistry. That was just a stepping stone for him. His career path is going to look something totally different. And so how can Abby come alongside him in this year without feeling like the anxiety she's going to feel, which is he's falling behind, he needs to know math. You know, how can she feel like she's still guiding him and doing her responsible role, but not letting him feel like he hates learning now because she's forcing him to stay up to par, you know?
He might want to go back to the public school. So he'll go back with whatever skills he got while he was out, but he will probably gain some skills that he would never have gotten in school. And the skills, the things they do in school, typically your high school program, you can do in 3 hours a day. So then you have the whole rest of the day for all kinds of other things. And math especially, you want to be careful with. It doesn't do them any good to cram for a test, pass it, and then move on if he doesn't have a good, deep understanding of it. Let it take time.
Mastery, mastery, mastery. That's what it's all about. And I hope, Abby, that at the end of next school year, your boys go, why would I want to go to a less superior option? I can stay with, especially next year, if everything goes online, it's gonna be a bloody disaster. It's the schools are already hurting pretty bad, and the teachers are confused, administration is confused, because everything's unpredictable at this point. And I believe that the homeschool environment is a far superior environment, and your boys will find that gift. And over time, your husband can have those talks with the boys saying, you know, the prom is not the most important thing in your life. You know, yeah, it's an experience, but I don't think it's a life-changing experience. Whereas if if you have the time in the homeschool arena to explore. I mean, look at Palmer Luckey. Do you know who he is? Palmer Luckey was a homeschool student in Newport Beach. And all he did was tinker with things inside their parents' motorhome that was parked in their driveway. And he just tinkered and tinkered. He tore apart cell phones, and he just spent his whole time doing that and then working.
Except when he was working to make money right. For the parks.
He'd work at the yacht club to buy things he wanted to play with. Palmer Luckey discovered Oculus Rift. And that's that virtual reality thing you put on your head. And he sold that business to Facebook for $2 billion. Oh, that's a B, not an M, a B.
Oh my goodness.
And he still works with Facebook a little bit, but he got in trouble because he's more conservative than liberal. But
well, I think about a lot of how like our goals to get our kids into college, and that's a great goal. But then I think about who are these people that they become, that now they have a great education. Like, let's say Abby, for example, just because we have to pick on you, Abby. Your kids let's just say your kids get into their dream college. All the goals you set out for them, they hit them and they exceed them, and they get into where they wanted to go, and they have great lucrative careers. But who are they as people, you know? And what is your relationship together as mom and son? Like, do they not want to ever talk to you again? Or do they feel resentful towards you? Or do they recall their experience of being homeschooled just very bitterly? Like, I wonder about that in our acquisition to get these goals, what we're doing to our relationship with our kids. And I love what you guys are saying about how if you're able to come alongside them and actually ask them, like, what would you want in a curriculum? What are your goals? And how much time would you want to spend on math? And do you realize if you fall behind in math, you may not be able to hit that goal that you just mentioned? So let's just plan for a plan B, like taking a step back and having a plan B if you fall behind, that maybe you won't go to college when you're 18, maybe you'll go when you're 19, and there's no educational emergency. You know, like, I love that you guys are kind of highlighting that, but there's no educational emergency. Like, with whoever it was that you said, one of your kids didn't start reading until they were 8.
And the other one was 10.
And there's no emergency, but that feels like an emergency to the parent who's going through it. Like, why aren't you reading? You're 8 years old. And I feel like if the same thing could be said and true about math and what you're going through with your boys, that they're maybe going to fall behind, but it's not an emergency the way we feel like there's a fire happening and they're falling behind and they're not going to reach their goal. So I just love that point. And I wanted to say, I know we're running out of time and we have to finish up. As we start to finish up here, I wanted to see if Abby had more questions for you guys. And I also wanted to know if she decides not to send her boys to school next year or in the future, if she does decide to continue homeschooling them all the way through, how can she look to you for support? And for our listeners who are wanting to know what you guys are offering as part of the tuition, because I'm seeing so many cool things on your website with like game schooling, and you have this online catalog of online classes. Can you share a little bit about the resources specifically that parents can look forward to in EIE?
Yeah. Yes, we are a full service homeschool organization. We cover everything you need in order to successfully homeschool. We have the bookstore. We have Miss Carolyn develop the game curriculum where you can teach anything, anybody from kindergarten to high school, you can teach subjects through games. And because it takes 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in your brain through repetitive type of learning, you play a game, it averages around 12 to 15 repetitions because you have the whole body involved. We want to also have, last year we did about 50 field trips because that is part of the exploratory, and it also helps create that relationship with other kids and with the moms, with other parents. We have Park Day once a week, and it's a multi-generational Park Day. And the importance there is that the kids get to socialize with really neat kids. And then every homeschool mom needs a homeschool girlfriend. And Park Day is where that is created, and it really works. We have some pretty fantastic classes here that are taught by people who are expert in their fields. And we go beyond most PSPs with our class structure, because we do have the automotive, we have a wood shop class, we have acting classes that our kids are making money on commercials right now. So we have a wide variety. And then we always have our counseling that's available. So we're gonna create this bond during the duration of your homeschool period. And we're gonna help you become successful in not only homeschooling your kids, but that your marriage does not suffer. I wanna be sure that when your husbands come home from work, they get a hug and a kiss, not a When we get to the stage, you got to call us, because it takes one small little change that can correct all that.
I love how your services cover many things beyond just education.
Yes, I do too.
We care about the whole family.
We're very organic. Yes.
What is the turnaround time? How do I get signed up? Well, I'd like to schedule our meeting then for you to meet my family as well.
Yes.
How fast does this happen?
You set the appointment, you come in, and you're enrolled that same day.
Nice.
If you want to be. Or you can take it home, have your first Board of Education meeting, talk to your husband about it, and come back the following day or the following week.
But some we always parents, want,
pardon me?
Some parents might also wonder, are you guys at risk of filling up? Because they see that with the charter schools, there
no.
might be a wait
no.
list.
No. Nice. We have an unlimited openings.
Excellent.
My classes, maybe not. But the enrollment in EIE Academy, we take people all year. I mean, literally, people come in May because they're so fed up with the school.
Are your classes meeting in person or online?
Traditionally, 95% of our classes were in person. I don't know yet what's happening for next year. Okay. My objective is to have in person, and especially for my elementary kids, mask-free interaction. The kids cannot have their masks on. That's just, it's scientifically, look at the science, it's not healthy for them. And they're not a high risk anyway. So that would be my ultimate dream, to get back to as normal as we can. I do have a couple of teachers I think might convert to online, like my college writing class with, you know, Dennis Tichino. I think he'll probably end up being online, but his class is the perfect class for online.
He's been online for years. He's,
yeah.
He's very good at it. I've seen some of his online classes. I'm a fan. He's excellent. You have a lot of really outstanding teachers, very hands-on. I can't speak highly enough about them. Your art teachers, Ani, she does so many wonderful things. Michelle Small, absolutely.
Yes. Now, Ani will not do online because her class structure is not built for that. So we're hoping that she can come back, and that the governor will allow us the privilege, and the LA County leadership will allow us the privilege to have on-premise, person-to-person, without too many restrictions, type of class environment, because that's the best place, is person to person.
Right. Well, so then I guess we should start to wrap up here. And if people who are listening want to know how they can reach you, Marty and Carolyn at EIE, what would be the best way for them to reach you?
There's two ways. You can go and investigate us at excellenceineducationhomeschooling.com. And then our phone number is 626-821-0025. Give us a call, and we're here 11 to 5 guaranteed Monday through Friday, or just drop on in.
Okay, and then there's probably like an email on your website too, in case people are more
You can email to eieacademy@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And Abby, if there's any listeners that are actually able to relate to you and want to and are curious about what you ended up deciding to do, how can they reach you?
Best way is probably emailing me, abby@homeschoolcoaches.com. That's A-B-B-Y. Or they can go onto our Facebook page and send us a message that way. That's nice and easy, and I can message them back very quickly as well too.
Okay, that's the Homeschool Coaches Facebook page. Okay, awesome. So I will get those links from you guys if you have the chance when you're done on this video meeting. If you can send me those links, or I can grab some of them off of the internet. And I wanted to thank you guys all so much for this awesome interview. I hope that it blesses and encourages some of our listeners. And I will definitely be sending any questions I get your way. And thank thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for what you're doing for the homeschool community. It's greatly appreciated.
It feels good to do. It really does. And it's fun and exciting to do. So I hope it helps someone.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Homeschool Conversation Podcast. This has been your host, Ashley Davis. And if you have any questions about how you can reach Marty and Carolyn over at the Excellence in Education, or how you can reach Abby Lai over at the Homeschool Coaches, please feel free to check out the show notes where you'll see all the goodies and links of how to reach them. Until next time, talk to you soon.